Hey everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Frank About Health. Today's episode is called Joey's Kitchen for Healing and Care. Ironically, he unfortunately caught a cold. So we're going to change the episode a bit. Joey will be joining us starting in segment two. However, I'm basically going to focus on healing through nutrition and even through something that is definitely taking up the nation by storm. And those are your famous GLP-1 drugs. So in order to offset the absence of Joey from being in the beginning of the show due to his cold and therefore not preparing a meal that would otherwise contain contagions, we're just going to basically reflect on what he has done on the show, both for Frank About Health and for one of our shows, The Expansion Room, where we showed him at work because he's been my father's caregiver, nutrition PCA, for the past year and a half. And overall, we've learned a lot, which we will discuss in detail. But therefore, I'm reformatting the show. It's still called Joey's Kitchen for Healing and Care. But we're just going to have an informative, nutrition-based discussion with some clips of his work, as well as other aspects of overall nutrition care that everyone should be aware of. For anyone who is looking at this episode for medical guidance, I have to issue a disclaimer. I am not a nutritionist. I am not a mental health professional, and I am not an MD. Therefore, the information you hear about is literally food for thought, not to be taken any seriously, meaning not to dissuade you from your ongoing care that you might already be having from your PCP or other professional, medical professional. I'm also not expressing the views of talkradio.nyc or of Frank About Health, but I am expressing the views that I have read in this book, Food for Health and Healing, which I will promote during one of the commercial breaks so that you can get the book yourself on Amazon. But more importantly, we're going to spend the hour reflecting on what Jose Dennis has done for my father over the past year, reflecting on a scene from The View, which will be close out the show, and reflecting in general about what it's been like dealing with all the ongoing stress of not only reporting each week on Frank About Health about the healthcare issue of the day, but also maintaining my own stress levels, which are ongoing when it comes to financial issues, caregiving issues, the issues of the big, beautiful bill, which I'm already seeing the effects of. Can't wait to do my taxes so I can see the big refund I'm supposedly going to get. But that all being said, I'm just wanting to continue to do my best to advocate for everyone's mental health, and in this particular episode's case, nutritional health. So let me give you an overview in general. Most people think that when they're eating, it's because they're hungry. Well, in today's climate, social, economic, political climate, we're always hungry because it is our need to relieve stress. We might find ourselves having three meals a day and our five additional snacks throughout the day, all stemming from candy and ice cream and potato chips and cookies and just food to binge on, especially when you don't know how else to let go of the stress that you contain with. I always try to do my electrolyte water. When I feel hydrated, my appetite is sedated. It doesn't need all the excess food that, trust me, I had been binging on throughout the year. Simultaneously, what I've learned even throughout the process with my own nutritionist is that eating, or the subsequent obesity for those that suffer from it, is really a mental health disorder, not a nutrition disorder. People always have what they call food noise. If you're an individual that is always concerned what you had for breakfast, what you're going to have for lunch, whether or not you should have that piece of cake that you know is sitting in the refrigerator that is really meant for your spouse or your children or whomever, and then not to mention, if you're going into holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, you can't be questioning what you're going to be making when it's still August. All right? Therefore, that tells me that the act of eating that leads to obesity is more mental and neurological. So we're going to address that on today's show as well. I can tell you that it has been a challenging year in particular, with a lot of stress related to my father and my mother's health care. And I found myself eating at inappropriate times, like 2 a.m, for example, or possibly going through my Uber Eats app and doing what I can to find an emergency snack when it wasn't an emergency. It was just me craving relief from the ongoing stress. When I'm dealing with my father going off his medications and whether or not he's eligible for CyberKnife treatment, and I, as the healthcare proxy, have to make the decisions on his behalf, I see a pizzeria and I want to go and indulge. All right. When I had to take my cousin on a nursing home visit that became permanent, I think I had an entire turkey dinner when I got home from the placing her there. And then everyone knows when I lost Aretha Gray last year, I was doing a lot of eating, but I was also doing a lot of meditating and praying and preparing for her celebration of life service, which happened a year ago next month. But that was my response, which I've learned to overcome with counseling, nutrition value, and you will hear throughout the rest of this show about how Joey has been able to really, by virtue of taking care of my father's nutritional needs, for the side effects of cancer treatment, including dementia and anemia and other kinds of issues, I've actually mirrored some of those meals for my own nutritional benefit to reduce the risks of cardio illness or high cholesterol or even being pre-diabetic, which I think I was headed towards at one point. Overall, nutrition is an enigma for most people. You know, you've got a population here in the United States of America, over 50%. I think it's even higher now, especially after COVID. But when I've seen the trend with the GLP-1 drugs over the past year and a half, I've heard Mounjaro, Wegovy, Ozempic. There's a new one called Zepbound. They're basically semaglutide medicines. And I know when Marshall Runge was here 6 months ago, he had talked about the potential that it has not only to deal with diabetes, which is what it was predominantly prescribed for, but also cardiac problems and even minimizing or reducing the risks of Alzheimer's and dementia, which to me was like, wow, this is genius. But now I find it all encompassing that GLP-1 drugs, again, which we will talk about later on the show, are basically those drugs that can also subsequently heal other illnesses as a byproduct. That's a side effect I'm sure willing to consider. All right, I think we're almost headed for our first break, but before we do, I'm going to show you one segment of Joey's first appearance on Frank About Health back in July, I believe it was, and then we're going to go to a commercial break. So bear with me while I do that, and then once this video is over, Samantha, feel free to take us out to commercial.
Has a slight dementia, and we are going to prepare today a salad for him that will benefit his brain and function. We're going to start with the garbanzo beans. As you see here, they are rich in nutrients like folate, iron, magnesium, and zinc. Folate aids in brain development and cognitive function. Magnesium supports nerve function. Then we have the tomatoes, which are packed with lycopene, an antioxidant that protects brain cells from damage, reduces inflammation, and enhances communication between neurons, potentially improving memory, learning, and mood. Then we have the cucumber, which is high in water content, helping with hydration, which is important for overall health and brain function. Then we have our onions, which contain flavonoids, which are plant compounds that can improve blood flow to the brain, potentially boosting focus and concentration, and may lower the risk of Alzheimer's disease. Then we have our cilantro, which contains antioxidants and flavonoids that may reduce brain inflammation, improve memory, and ease anxiety symptoms. And with that, we have garlic for flavor. We have oregano, salt and pepper for flavor. Okay, so now we're gonna put our salad together. I'm gonna start with seasoning our oil. With half of lemon that I pressed in to the juice from. Combine them in short and coagulate each other. Now we add our ingredients. And the chicken. And combine seasoning, the oil seasoning, to the vegetables. Garlic, I took 4 garlic cloves and I diced them up fine. All of these.
Okay, so we're not going to try any right now. That basically is the preamble to the next section of the show when I introduce Jose, and he and I will have a conversation about that entire recipe and how it impacted my father. And so, Samantha, we're ready for a commercial break, and we'll be back in a few right here on talkradio.nyc and on our social media. See you soon.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. So here we have it. Jose Dennis, who's joining us right now, segment two of this episode of Frank About Health. And I guess, if anything, let's just talk during the next segment, next 13 minutes, about what it is like, what it has been like for you to be using that kitchen as kind of a laboratory for my father's dementia, cancer care, as well as all other side effects, anemia. Recently diagnosed. Can you just share with the audience and listeners that entire experience?
Well, it's been a learning experience because I learned what each vegetable, how each vegetable helps with nutrition and how it helps with the brain function and other aspects of the body. And putting that salad together, I remember it was really delicious.
Yeah.
After I made it, I set it aside for about 4 hours until your parents were ready to eat. And your father loved it, which was
yes.
good. So he's always happy when I cook.
Yes.
Always asking me when I'm going to make my own restaurant. but it was a joy just to see him enjoy his food, because sometimes other things that he is presented with, he doesn't enjoy too much.
Yes.
So
and
it's
when you
good
were,
to see him eat.
When you were observing that prior to you actually focusing on his nutrition, he basically wasn't eating. He wasn't hydrating. He was not doing anything.
No.
Even the meals that he was used to having, whether it was ordered out or whether my mother made it or whether it was just a sandwich or whatever, he would just not touch it. And there was just something in the way you prepared it. Now, I know that everybody knew that you were already having been trained previously in another life of yours to be an actual professional chef. To cross over and use it under medical purposes now, that was nothing you've ever expected.
No.
It was by default. But did you find that your passion for cooking was now gave you a sense more of pride because you were also acting like the food doctor? What would you qualify yourself as in order to really get the commitment from my father?
Well,
because you were the first to make him have seconds and thirds.
Just to, I guess it's tapping into the field of a nutritionist and doing your investigations and your research on how different ingredients you could put together to make it tasteful and healthy for
yes.
your body. And stuff. So that's one aspect that I've enjoyed learning. And just putting the different dishes together for your father, just to see him smile is what I like, and joke around after he's eating and stuff like that. And that brings joy to me. It's really nice to see him like that.
So it's part of your personality to begin with. So it was an easy fit when you were actually needed to use those skills, your cooking expertise, for medical purposes. Plus, you were also getting paid for it. I mean, trust me, I do respect the fact that you were getting paid for your talent. You know, that was one aspect, because I know the food business must be completely crazy to begin with for anyone who just wants to be a chef. But when you're actually being supported by the government to help pay for a patient's food needs, I mean, you were then therefore exploring cardiac issues and anemia issues, immunology. I mean, hell, during COVID, we also had to figure out the right foods to eat that were not at all considered contagious or affected with the virus and stuff like that. And you were around during that time as well.
Well, we had to order our stuff online and
Yes.
have it delivered because you couldn't go out to shop.
Exactly. You couldn't do it, and half the stuff was out of stock because, you know, it wasn't being brought correctly into the different stores and stuff like that. But then you and I discovered Costco. Costco was also becoming very necessary, especially during my father's healthcare crisis, because budgets were being eroded pretty quickly. And so now it was an issue where, when you were clocking in, as they say, we would have to actually dedicate time on a Saturday or Sunday to go and look at menus. And we worked with a nutritionist,
Yes,
Rochelle Sirota,
Rochelle
by the
Sirota.
way, in case you
Excellent.
need one. She accepts Aetna and she also accepts Medicare, but under specific diagnoses. That all being said, diabetes being one of them. But the thing is that you and I, especially in the caregiving role of trying to go ahead and advocate for my father, a cancer patient who's now showing signs of a dementia patient, of a person who's losing significant amount of weight, remains dehydrated, really by his own choosing, because he's told constantly take 60 ounces of water a day. And he said, "Oh, I took 10 ounces yesterday."
Yes, and
Doesn't
still,
matter,
yeah.
you know. But the point is that I then needed your guidance to make sure I wasn't overeating, which I was, or that I would be eating the right foods to prevent my burnout, which was also accruing. So you found yourself, is it safe to say, you found yourself becoming everyone's caregiver in the environment when it came to nutrition?
You could say that, yes. In
Okay.
this household, yes.
So as a result of that, what would you say are your most predominant recipes that come to mind because of you being in the role of caregiver?
Well, I've gone to use the quinoa grain and make a Hispanic dish out of it using my Hispanic, seasonings from Puerto Rico
Yes.
and sazón and the chickpeas that I like to use and
Yes.
just mixing it together and just creating.
You know, one of the side effects, though, of all of his creations is that he and I both gained weight because the food was so good. But whether it's in the case of my father trying to help keep and contain the dementia from progressing, or to increase his blood levels so that he doesn't have as much iron poor blood through the anemia that he was finding. Then there are those who are eating to escape the burnout. So then, oh, you got to prevent potential diabetes, potential cardiac, or as you will learn later on in the show, sleep apnea or other kinds of blockages that occur because of weight gain, which wasn't the intention, but became a byproduct of coming up with the best foods for a patient that was in need of care. Basically, I don't know if we're set for another break, but what I can say is that I've hoped that we have been able to create a sense of what life has been like for Jose Dennis to be in this home doing patient caregiving with his biggest talent, cooking. Now, you would think it's like the best of both worlds, but no, there are many, many trade-offs, especially when you're also trying to manage your own life with your own family and your other job that's waiting for you. So I can only imagine how the burnout, which is primarily with all caregivers, whether they're your family members or whether they're not, you have to put the correlation that burnout and food do go hand in hand. Too much of it may deaden the burnout, but will increase other comorbidities. Too little of it may reduce the rate, But if you're already burnt out to begin with, you might collapse. So there's a lot of hydration and sleep and vitamin supplements that need to be involved for caregivers, while in the patient's case, first target what their main ailment is and target the food menus that will help maintain their quality of life while living with those particular ailments. Do you have any other thoughts before we go to our second break?
Just that's what I was researching through the different vegetables and stuff. What can I put together that will help your father's dementia
Yes.
and stuff? And also, he had an issue with his iron. So I
Yes.
also did research with that, and I think you have a recipe that you will show later on
Yes.
why I created.
Correct. And also, we used artificial intelligence, and it provided us with all the menus as well as all the budgets that we had to consider when we went and did our Costco runs every week. All right. I haven't gotten any alert as to if there is a break, but I'm going to assume that there is one. So please stay tuned as we are here with Jose Dennis as we are talking about nutrition and caregiving, using the kitchen as his laboratory of sorts. As a caregiver, and we will then continue as we talk about some of his other recipes. And like I promised you, the final segment will focus on the GLP-1 drugs. All right, we'll be back in a few.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Onions, peppers, and I also added a little celery flavor. And in here, in the mortar, I crushed garlic with oregano and cumin and turmeric that I added to that with white distilled vinegar with my olive oil in it, which I will mix into the meat, make my little meatballs, which will go in here. And then in this pot here, I prepare quinoa. And on the side, I will cut up my tomato. Here, okay, the spinach.
Oh. Okay,
so what is the point of the iron-rich ingredients that you want to mix together?
This is to build iron within the...
Okay, sorry for the technical difficulties, but I did realize that in order for everyone to hear what Joey was saying, I had to activate the sound quality while the video was flipped. So sorry for those of you who did not hear it, but all of those video snippets are available on my Frank About Healthcare YouTube channel. Look for it. And for those of you who want to see the different recipes, tell the viewers what recipes are on that channel that you've made for Frank About Health in the expansion room.
Well, in your show, I had done the Mediterranean salad that we saw earlier. This iron enriched salad was done for your friend's show,
The expansion
the
room.
expansion room. And it was the meatballs that I made with the quinoa. And I also made a crushed almond,
Almond encrusted salmon.
almond encrusted salmon with broccoli, which was delicious.
Okay, and each of those had a purpose. The almond encrusted salmon was definitely for
The mind.
right. And the quinoa bowl was also for the same thing, or was the anemia?
No, that was for the anemia and the meatballs. That was for the iron rich.
Okay. All right, everybody. So overall, I think what you have discovered in the first two segments of the show is that weight loss is basically a means to save your life, depending upon what different illnesses that you are carrying. In my father's case, it's cancer. For my case, it was prevention of diabetes. For Jose, I would like him right now to share with you a recent illness that he has. I wouldn't call it an illness, it's a sleep disorder, but it is now affecting him and making him eligible. Well, he has to lose significant amounts of weight to stop the sleep disorder, but it'll also make him eligible to deal with any other side effects that he's currently faced with, including prediabetes and whatever. So why don't you share your story with sleep apnea?
Well, yes, I have a condition, sleep apnea, and it's because of the weight that I have gained that I need to lose. And at night, I just don't sleep comfortably at all. I'm constantly awake, or I may think that I have slept the whole night through, but I'm exhausted during the day. And when I'm dragging myself to work and stuff and having to do things, sometimes I doze off in front of a computer, which is bad.
You mean you're literally dozing off in school?
Sometimes it happened to me like twice.
Wow.
So it's a bad situation. So I spoke to a person that was taking over for Dr. Miranda in
NYU Langone
NYU
Health.
Langone, and she spoke about that. Yes, one of my sleep tests showed that with the CPAP, I slept better through the night than without it. And she also spoke about this new medicine called Zepbound, that when I see Dr. Miranda in February, I guess we'll have a discussion about.
Very interesting. I mean, now the funny part is we're not even talking about food as medicine. We're literally just talking about, I guess, the aspect of still weight loss.
Yes.
So, exploring this in real time with all of you out there, we're actually talking about obesity being another illness.
Yes.
And so while you are already an excellent cook and doing what you can as a caregiver, especially for my father and subsequently for me and my mother, by virtue of going through our own reactions to what has been going on, would you say that part of your weight gain was based on eating your iron-rich foods and your food to help prevention of dementia or minimize dementia? Would you say that you really got that you used the laboratory as your place to pick? At the same time?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, I don't believe, I think most chefs do that, especially if they're in restaurants and stuff like that. But subsequently, you were going through burnout as well, and your way of coping was by probably eating more and ultimately gaining more weight that would lead to the apnea. And now the sleep deprivation and the fatigue and everything else that you've been describing, which made you eligible to continue doing the cooking and being mindful of the nutritious foods, but now looking into CPAP machine to sleep better, and at the same time, start doing what a lot of people have been advised not to. It's also not cost effective in most cases because insurance won't cover it. But after I show everybody in the beginning of the fourth segment what we saw yesterday on The View. I'm even considering it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do still agree, and I'm not saying to stay away from Joey's recipes or not be focused on using food for your healing. But if it subsequently helps with your illnesses and creates obesity as a new comorbidity, then we need to visit the GLP-1 drugs simultaneously with the right foods to eat. So I can see we're about to take our final break. And when we return, we will go ahead and show you the scene from The View and have an entire discussion on the GLP-1 drugs. So please stay tuned right here on Frank About Health on talkradio.nyc and on our social media. We'll be back in a few. On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Regret for it is because I was so ill-informed. Mm. You know, and Maya Angelou always said, when you know better, you do better.
Yeah.
I now know better.
Yeah.
And so that's why I've written enough to help people, or co-written with Dr. Anya, to help people understand. If you're still trying to do it through willpower, mm-hmm. you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dr. Anya, there are millions of people now taking these GLP-1 obesity mm-hmm. medications. Many of my friends and family are. Mm-hmm. You say they target something called our enough point. Can yes. you explain what that is and how they great. Work?
Yes, yes. And this gets at that biology that's so important. So our bodies are super smart. They are designed to survive. Mm-hmm. And so in order to survive, they have to carry a certain amount of fuel. Mm-hmm. And they carry that fuel as fat. Mm-hmm. But how does our body know how much fuel or how much fat to carry? Mm-hmm. Where, well, our brain decides that. It mm-hmm. sets a set point or an enough point mm-hmm. where it thinks, oh, now I have enough fuel. Mm-hmm. I have enough energy. I'm good. I'm going to survive. I'm not going to die. This is great. Mm-hmm. But within our current obesogenic environment, mm-hmm. an environment that is filled with ultra-processed food,
yes.
lack of sleep, lack of physical activity, tons of stress, medicines that cause weight gain mm-hmm. as a side effect, all these things push up the enough point. They push it up for many of us. So what do the medications do? Well, they work in the brain, and what we think they do is they recalibrate that enough point so that it is lower. And so basically, as a consequence of that, we lose weight.
Wow.
So they lower the enough point, and the weight follows. And that's exactly what happened with Oprah.
You know, but some people can't lose weight on that drug.
That is true.
I know people.
That is true.
Does alcohol play a part in that? Look, I notice if I have a glass of wine the night before and I get on the scale, I'm a pound heavier than I was the day before. So is that the alcohol?
What How much are you drinking, Joy?
It's not the alcohol per se, although alcohol does have calories. But some people do not respond to the new medications.
Oh.
And there's a reason for that. Yeah. And that's because there's not one type of obesity. There's many types of obesities. And the type of obesity that person may have may not respond to that specific class of medications.
So they have to keep trying different ones?
There are different medications that already exist. They've existed for a long time. They're just not quite as effective, but we use them together.
Yeah.
We use them together to help people treat their obesity.
So
and lose
drinking
more.
Has nothing
and,
to do with it.
It's not about your drinking
there's,
problem.
Yes. and there's many medicines in development, many new classes of medicine in development. So the important thing is to keep going, to not give up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So here's what's going to happen.
All right. This is multitasking at its best. But basically, the takeaway from this episode is not only to keep in mind of Using the kitchen as your laboratory when taking care of your family or friends, or if you're a caregiver like Joey is for my father, being able to look at food for its clinical basis as well, depending on the type of illness the patient is being treated for. But when you yourself, the caregiver, or even I myself, begin to experience outgoing stress due to the caregiving burnout, and you start gaining weight, which leads to things like apnea, start looking at two dynamics here. One is you might be suffering from what I gathered in that interview on The View with Oprah Winfrey, that obesity is a neurological or in some ways a mental illness. I don't mean like the traditional mental illnesses like psychosis or schizophrenia or neurosis or depression even, but I'm referring to the food noise that only people who suffer from obesity are living with. And that is where the GLP-1 drugs transmit and reduce the level of that noise so that you no longer have the desire to eat to escape. Only eat when you need to. All right, so there's that thing that to consider, as well as maintaining a quality of life through the use of the high quality foods that you need to have as much of an energetic and healthy lifestyle while also dealing with those that really need the best nutrition support. So another big takeaway is that obesity is an actual illness. Just the act of gaining weight and losing it and fluctuating or whatever, those are behavioral responses to that illness of obesity. All right, overall, I have spent the last 45 minutes with you looking at the spectrum of what you've done on Frank About Health and also the expansion room and really approaching the types of foods to set for people who have mood disorders or dementia or anemia or whatever. But it looks to me that nobody has ever, with all the diets that have been in the marketplace for over as long as I've been alive, nobody has ever realized that in terms of nutrition, if you already have a good foundation, is not something you really have to concern yourself with, mm-hmm. except when you're ill. But the fact that we live in a society with too many processed foods, and I can always talk about, like I've talked on my Voices of Disruption series, about all the high tariffs and causing limitations on food stamps and dealing with people not knowing where to get their food because the prices have risen and then they're getting foods that aren't healthy and whatever, it's actually reinforcing this, well, I wouldn't call it newly found illness of obesity, but something that's finally being pinpointed and represented so that a class of drugs, the GLP-1 drugs, can actually hopefully become eligible for funding through insurance programs or other kinds of government support so that we can also maintain our society's quality of life. So ultimately, nutrition is not just about the food. It's about how you take the chemicals associated with the food and neutralize them with the appropriate medications. I would say for those of you considering GLP-1 drugs, I tried showing a commercial here showing the top four: Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound, which basically were introduced, you know, the first two, Ozempic and Mounjaro were for originally diabetic patients. Wegovy was created as a subset of Ozempic because of the semi-glutide chemical to be purely for weight management, and now they have the pill out there. They call it the GLP-3. Simultaneously, Zepbound was released into the marketplace about a year and a half ago, and it is targeted for those suffering from sleep apnea. And, of course, it helps you lose weight the fastest because even a 15% decline in weight stops the apnea. And then neurologically, what has been researched, not yet tested or proven, is that they are saying the long-term effects of the GLP-1 drugs is that they improve cardiac health and they even minimize Alzheimer's disease and dementia. They don't prevent it, but they reduce the protein that gets built up in the brain in those particular age groups that have probably been already poisoned with too much tobacco or alcohol in the system or whatever other genetic components may be at play. But the GLP-1 is a neurotransmitter that is impacted when that injection or pill is put in the system. It suppresses the urge to eat, it suppresses the food noise, and it even creates additional neuroplasticity. These are other positive effects of these drugs. I literally am in the process of consulting with my doctor to start taking GLPs. Particularly, I'm probably going to do the pill because I do have epilepsy and I continue to take pills for that. But that would be Wegovy for me. Meanwhile, we are, as Joey mentioned earlier, looking seriously at Zepbound so that the CPAP machine will be one source of making sure he gets better sleep. But at the same time, to reduce the weight, stop the apnea, and then even have more energy and quality of life going forward. Well, so here we have almost completed the show. And I don't know with all the technical difficulties if it was a clear thought out process. I mean, again, him having a cold, which if you're not getting enough sleep and you're surrounded by sick children all the time, and we've had cold weather beyond belief, that's a result. But it created a nice round episode for us to talk about, not just showing him in his kitchen doing his magic. Again, if you want to see the recipes that he has done on Frank About Health and that we showed a little bit tonight, go into YouTube, look under my Frank About Healthcare channel, and you will see all of those mini videos, including a video of Aretha Gray on Good Morning America. I thought for those of you out there that want to pay tribute, she died a year ago last month. And again, Joe, if you yourself are dealing with diabetes or apnea or high weight, aside from the nutrition that we have been talking about, consider the GLP-1s. I think they're more safe, especially after someone like Oprah Winfrey endorses it. But I'm also endorsing this book, which of all places I got from my dentist's office. But so be it. It's actually what we needed at the right time during the Thanksgiving holiday for my father and other members of my family. And I did show it that it's available on Amazon for about $1. So it's worth the investment, especially for your long-term hair, long-term care and quality of life. All right. It says 3 minutes to break, but I think I've done my part for the past 57 minutes. I thank you all. This is actually my season finale. I will be back next week for a new season of shows right here on Frank About Health. I am no longer doing the Voices of Disruption campaign. I think that we really spelled that out all through the holidays. But I'm going to touch upon invisible illnesses next Thursday. More on that to follow. Everybody, you have a wonderful weekend. Know that tomorrow, Philanthropy in Focus will be on at 10 a.m. And then next Thursday, after the Conscious Consultant Hour at 12 noon, you will have another episode of Frank About Health with me, Frank Harrison. Thank you again, behind the scenes, Samantha, for the work in helping me put together this show with all the technical challenges. But I think it was okay. So I look forward to speaking or seeing all of you next week. Have a good night. On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Huh.